Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to A Doctor in the House with Dr. Terry Mason on 1690, The Talk of Chicago.
Good morning, good morning. This is your host, Dr. Terry Mason, the show The Doctor in the House, heard every Sunday morning here from 10 to 11 on AM 1690 WVON. We've got a great show for you, as we always do, and I want to say thank you for tuning in. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be able to meet and talk with our community. This is our fourth Sunday, and this Sunday we have a special guest who will be joining us by phone in a little while, Pastor Gerald January. of the church that is responsible for making sure that we have this farm. And I want to make sure that we get a chance to appropriately introduce Pastor Gerald January of Vernon Park Church of God to really talk about a little bit about his vision and what have you. But in the meantime, I got joining on the live line Dr. Thomas Earl Britt. Good morning, Dr. Britt.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
And Anthony Williamson, who's right here in the studio, who is the farm manager, who just brought me in a nice T-shirt with two pictures on it. One of Malcolm X.
Well, it's one picture. They together.
They're together on this picture. Yeah. This is a Che Guevara. Is that Che Guevara?
No. No, that's Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro. I don't know why I want to keep calling him Che Guevara. But Fidel Castro. The Dr. Britt, we are here in the studio today as we Pastor January is going to be calling in shortly, but we are really trying to push this, and we're not pushing, we're trying to invite. Let me, that's a better word. Invite people to become participatory in their own future. And to do that is to invite yourselves to participate in purchasing an opportunity. Let me call it that. It's an opportunity to participate in your own locally grown, organically farmed food. And to tell us a little bit about that and where we are right now, I'm going to let Anthony take it away.
Yes, well, we was blessed enough to find a tractor at an affordable price that has a bucket on it that we can use to help move the compost around and turn it so it can mature faster. So we was able to accomplish that. And we thank the people who supported. We did get some donations, and we were blessed enough to be able to find one in our price range. So we got that part going. So we've been having a little cooler weather than we usually have in April. So we held out on the planting just to let this cool weather go, and it saves on expenses of possibly having to replant things due to frost and things like that. So as of Tuesday, we should start planting our cooler vegetables like collard greens, kale, Swiss chard, things like that. And we're going to try to start our corn a little earlier, too, so we can get you guys corn, more corn during the season, get it earlier and more frequently.
And what about the bees, Tony?
And the bees, we're trying to revamp this these bees. You know, unfortunately, you know, we do need funds. But, you know, having that type of land footprint that we have, we can put way more colonies out there and produce more honey. And also, that could be a revenue. I don't think people really understand how medicinal honey is. And not just the honey, the beeswax. The beeswax is a whole income in its own of making candles, lip balm, and a whole lot of other real great products.
We should exploit that and do more to make sure that we take an opportunity to avail ourselves of any possible additional revenue source.
Yes.
You know, guys, and I'll say this very quickly, and Thomas Britt, I know you want, Dr. Britt, you want to add in here. Also, before I get to Dr. Britt, I want to wish Prince Asiel Ben Israel a happy 80th birthday. So that's right. So, Dr. Britt, I know you're jumping to get in on this, so go right ahead.
Well, you know, you mentioned the beeswax and all of that. I want him to talk a little bit more about that. When you start talking about beauty products that you can get from the farm, then I think you get another whole population of people who are still trying to be as cute as a button. You get them involved. So let's talk a little bit more about that, if you could,
yeah. Well,
Tony.
Beeswax is a superior product when it comes to beauty than a lot of these other things that they have out. Not knocking what they have out, but like if you like light scars. I have a lady who helped us with the bees over the years named Maggie Wachter, and she makes a lot of these products. And she had made a lip balm out of beeswax and possibly shea butter mixed together. So I applied that to a burn that I had, and it healed that burn in 4 days and left no scar or anything like it never happened. So it has healing properties. Yeah.
Now, Tony, you mentioned shea butter. Mm-hmm. And I have some shea butter I've had for 10 years, and it's finally beginning to fall apart. So talk a little bit about shea butter. Where does it come from? How long does it take to grow? I'm assuming it's coming from the ground. I know it's coming from the ground. Tell me a little bit about shea butter, because I love it. I love it. You buy various different preparations, and they put some shea butter in it. But I got the actual shea butter that you get at some of these shops in our neighborhood, some of the African shops. Can you talk a little bit about shea butter?
Well, what it is about shea butter is that it's a couple products that's put together, and different people make different versions of it. Now you can go to your Jewel, Osco, and your Walgreens, and you'll see shea butter products mixed in with various traditional lotions and creams and things like that. So you have to question the product. So it's just like our honey and our food. You know, knowing where you got this from is very important. So knowing the shea butter source is really important. Like, you get this locally from people that you know and you trust. So you pretty much know the process that they use. Because once you start exploring things for money, then, you know, you pretty much know what happens after that.
Well, one of the things I want to do now is I see that Pastor January has joined us. Good morning, Pastor January. How are you?
Good morning, Doc. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Well, just for those who don't know, Pastor Gerald January is the pastor of Vernon Park Church of God, the church that owns the farm that we are talking about every week, and has been a stalwart in making certain that opportunity remains. Pastor January, I know initially the farm was not necessarily totally part of it, even though it was part of Mother Carr's farm. I'd like for you to just tell the people just a bit about what your vision is for the was and is continues to be for that land.
Well, When I became pastor in 1999, following the Wyatts, we were right there on Stony Island, and the church had kind of plateaued. But what happened in about two and a half, 3 years, we had a huge surge in new members and salvations and that type of thing. And it looked really great. And actually, I came to be the pastor just to be the bridge pastor. I figured 5 years and I'm out. It's been 22 years now. But anyway, had this vision because I really had a problem with the fact that the generation coming up after us didn't have a lot of tangible things they could actually brag on or even strive towards. It was consumer-based. And so we put together a plan from a vision I had to do a holistic community and right there on Stony Island and surrounding areas. But that administration that was in mayor's office at the time, they actually turned us down to our face. They did not want us to do development, at least the black folks do it. And we had actually contacted different commercial places. So what we ended up doing is buying 75 acres of land in Linwood. You know the story probably very well. And the original PUD, or planned unit development, was to be a holistic work. It was never to be a mega church or anything like that, but it was to combine faith along with commercial retail as well as the farm and some residential spaces for senior citizens. So that was the original plan. Tony, that you've been talking to, Tony Williamson, he came to me one day and said, "Pastor, I think I want to do something with my hands." And it came down to farming. I'm sure you heard the story a lot. So he helped him as he dedicated himself to become a more green, certified and educated. But I didn't know if Tony could do it. That's to be honest about it. So I said, "Tony, I'm going to give you a little quarter of acre right here." That's before there's a church out there or anything. I said, "If you could grow something in this spot, we'll give the food away." And boy, he blew us out of the water. And for the last 8 or 9 years, he's been doing that. Now, he and his team have this ability to produce from the land, whether it be honey or any of the 30 or so vegetables and fruits that he produces. My whole thing was, Doc, and I would tell the children all the way back in 2004, 2005, you got to own yourself. I'm sure Tony remembers that. That was my whole thing. If you don't own yourself, somebody's going to own you. And we didn't have a lot of models, and so we prayed about it, and there was trial and error here and there. But I'm proud of the folks, from VP, because basically they've taken the vision and put feet to it, even though we've had some difficulties. And Mother Carr's Farm is one of those things that we have seen that actually happens if we stay with the legacy of our people. My folks are from Evergreen, Alabama, and Stuttgart, Arkansas. So we understood, even when growing up in Detroit, my grandmother raised me and my grandfather raised me, and they taught us about natural food. And if we could do that then, we could do that now. And so I'm actually grateful, Doc, that Mayor Daley turned us down. He wouldn't allow us to develop on Stony Island, because what we ended up doing is buying all of this land, and we were able to start the farm and the church, and hopefully soon we'll start seeing retail, commercial, and residential out there as well.
Well, that's a big vision, big vision. And I just want, first of all, let me say I thank God that you had the vision to try to do this. And, sometimes what we think are stumbling blocks are really our building blocks. And so what this turned out to be. But I want you to know how blessed we are to be able to work with you and Mr. Williamson to continue to grow this opportunity for us to, because we're bereft of those kinds of places that we can get organically grown vegetables and fruit at a price that we could afford. And now that you've expanded this program with Tony to make sure that we have an opportunity to grow even more and to have a delivery service this year so that it makes it even easier. And we'll talk more about that. But, I try to think of these things holistically, not just one area. As you recall, I was with the Nation of Islam, and the one thing that you got to have control over, your food, clothing, shelter. Without that, you don't really have anything.
That's right. It's really... it comes down to the, I think, the dedication of a people, not just a person, but of a people to say, look, we're going to work together to own ourselves. It's so past time where we're expecting someone to drive in or ride in on a white horse and save us in our community. We have the power to take our own health back. And you are what you eat. That's the first thing. I mean, what you eat and drink should actually affect, as you know, you're the doctor, your body. And so, you know, we get too caught up in the anointing of God, the anointing of God that God gives us. I believe in it. It makes us charismatic, allows us to do things that we normally wouldn't do. But these bodies wear out. The anointing never wears out. And so part of keeping these bodies in the best shape we can is physically making sure we put in our bodies good for our bodies instead of all this processed food, which was never meant to be actually digested into our system.
That's an amazing point, because I don't think most people know that. I mean, these foods that we call foods are really sort of food substances. They're not.
Yes, sir.
They're not natural. You know, most of these things that we shake out of boxes and stuff like that are not natural products. And many of us have let ourselves now be lulled into a false sense of security because we can buy so many things already cooked or mass produced in these fast food outlets. So I'm grateful. Yeah. I'm grateful that we are at a place like Vernon Park where we can continue to work with you on the whole farm project. And Anthony is a gem. I mean, he is a gem. I mean, this brother works tirelessly and knows how to do this in a sustainable way. And I tell you, with that little batch of those little collards that we have, man, please.
Man, it's nothing like greens and cabbage and corn from Mother Carl's farm. I tell you, I miss it during the wintertime when we run out of food. The food is excellent, and there's a difference. It's always different. A difference between what's natural and what's natural like. The substitutes are designed to taste like and look like what's real, but they're never as good. And I remember the first year or two that we were producing food, and Tony remembers this as well. There were some young couples, especially some of the younger women, when they would actually get the food, we had to actually give them instructions on how to cook this because it wasn't throw it in the microwave. But once they learned that and they learned the taste of natural food, it was absolutely a game changer for our congregation.
You know, that's a great point because we grew up, I mean, I grew up learning how to cook from watching my mother cook. And my mother had a simple rule. Everybody that eats needs to know how to cook. That was a very simple rule. So it didn't matter with your boy, girl. It didn't matter. If you ate, you need to know how to cook, and you need to know how to cook well. And she made us watch her. And that's how we learn, because that's how she learned. And this is something that's not there. We're going to worry about, oh, there's no home ec in the schools, or there's this, or there's that. But the first teachers are the parents. And the first things that you learn dietarily are the things that your parents cook for you. And we can all, that's what you learn. The first taste that you learn are the things that come from your home. And those are the tastes that follow you almost the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, and so we've got another Arkansasian on the phone here, Dr. Britt. Dr. Britt.
Yes, I heard. He says it's both from Stuttgart, Arkansas. I heard him say that.
Yes, sir. Since we're having
a light moment, I used to watch my mama cook, but I also had to wash dishes. You learn how to wash dishes, okay? And y'all know what I'm talking about. I was lucky enough to have a bunch of older brothers and a couple younger than me. And mama told me when I got to be 16, I'd have to wash dishes no more. And so on my 16th birthday, she looked at me. I said, no, mama, you made a promise.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
No, but it's important. And that's part of what's missing today. You know, what we learn from the parents is how to pick up the phone and order. You know, we're not learning what it means to go to the store and buy raw anything and come home and convert that into through what I call chemistry. You know, that's what cooking is. It's nothing but chemistry. You add acids and bases and heat and you create a different taste to the foods. And I just want to, you know, Pastor, how much we appreciate what you've done, your vision yet not complete, and but it will be, and the work that you have allowed and encouraged Mr. Williamson to do, because it has been game changers. We plan to do a lot more with your permission out there this summer to invite more people to see what's going on and to become part of this vision.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Tony shared that with me about a month ago. I actually can I just say this, Doc, and I hope people understand in the spirit I'm saying it. That's some of the best news I've heard in the last 10 years, because there, unfortunately, though we're great people, too many of us have bought into this competition thing, especially amongst churches and black leaders and that type of thing. And we've always welcomed the vast community to not just partake in the food, but pray for us, support us, but also learn from us. I got a call just this week from a pastor who said, look, I need to tell you, sir, I need to learn how you're doing what you're doing out there. And I said, you're welcome. Just come on out, make an appointment. We'll sit and talk. Tony knows I love it. You know, Dr. Mason, I love walking on the campus and showing people this, that, and the other, and where things are going to be. Being a visionary, I can point to nothing and see something. So the reality is that this is for all of us. And even when they see the streets begin to be developed out there, I tell people this was never an ego trip. There's nothing on our campus. I've told them this. Don't name anything after me. I don't want my name on a street. I don't want it on a building. This is about our people and the next generation. And if we can succeed, as we succeed in this, we can replicate ourselves. Tony and I have had this conversation ad nauseum about duplicating himself. And he's doing a good job of trying to find those to mentor so he can make himself times 10, both male and female, because we're going to need more Tony Williamsons and more Dr. Mason. And so the reality is that I believe, and this is just January's talking today, I'm not in church, but I believe this even spiritually, that it's going to be absolutely necessary that we get back to this natural type eating and living if we're going to survive as a people. I just believe that.
That's absolutely true. And we're going on that note, Pastor, if you can hang with us, we got to take a short commercial break, a little overdue for it, but we're going to take it. And we'll be right back with more in the Doctor in the House with Pastor Gerald January right after this. No more back thinking,
time for thinking ahead. Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be.
There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
And we're back, and if you're just joining us, this is The Doctor in the House with your host, Dr. Terry Mason. And we have with us today Mr. Anthony Williamson, Pastor Gerald January, and Dr. Thomas Britt. And we've been talking, if you're just tuning in, we've been talking about the importance of, if I could just summarize what Pastor said, owning yourself. And I think that's a very key thing that's getting lost. I mean, we want to own everybody else's this. Everybody want to wear everybody else's name on our bodies. We want to wear all these other things, and we don't own any of that. So, Pastor, does that fit into what you're talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was reading a study on consumers in America, and I was not surprised, but kind of hurt to find that in New York, they stated that the most loyal consumer in America is a black church attendee. But we lost something great, not only nationally, but even locally, of black ownership of banks and certain things of that nature, because unfortunately, too many of us, even in the church, we actually were ambassadors for heaven, but we were not good citizens of the earth or what we own. So we actually, in many cases, we digress from being our nation or our community to my house and now to my space. And when it's my space, we don't even own that my space site. I mean, it belongs to somebody else. However, what I've noticed is that we are the most copied people almost in the world, from music, fashion, looks, and everything else. The great thing about what's happening now is that I can find sunshine in every cloudy day. The reality is that we've been kind of shut down, and I believe a lot of people are realizing what they can live without, how they spent money unnecessarily, and what can happen if we reinvest in our own selves. Home Depot and others have said that there's a great surge in people actually spending time, not just spending time at home, but actually reinvesting in their own homes. Well, if we can take that same model and begin to reinvest in our own people, our own communities, our own families, and our own health, then we can leave this whole idea of branding, taking other people's brand and create our own brand. And if you can't own all of it, own some of it. It is one of the reasons, and I say this openly and unashamedly, that we have struggled with much of the development on our land, because I was even told more than once by other people that you have a great idea, your plan, your development is outstanding. We just don't want your people to do it. Now, it's only 75 acres, but the reality is that once you realize what you can do, you become more of a giver than someone that always has their hands out. And so that's part of what we're trying to do, or what we have not only attempted to do, but have done in our site in Linwood.
You know, you've said a lot just in that very short time. You said an awful lot with regard to just what's happening. And Dr. Britt and I and others have had a conversation about really looking at integration. Was that the right thing? You know, was that something that you can integrate coffee and cream, but both of them still remain what they are.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But when we integrated, in my humble opinion, we tried to become what we were integrating with, which meant that we lost part of our identity, and losing that identity caused us to do the very thing that you just said, because now we didn't see ourselves separate from but equal to what we were mixing with, but we wanted to become more mixed and more mixed-like. To the point that we didn't even want to acknowledge the beauty of ourselves in our natural states.
Exactly.
So,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go right ahead, Pastor.
No, I mean, that's a sermon series right there, and I've taught that 3 or 4 times over the last 20 years. I've even shown historically our congregation and our TV audience sometimes how we lost our identity. I mean, you are the goal of what we're supposed to do is have a purpose. All of us have a purpose. We all have that. And for some reason, we lost the idea of our own empowerment by trying to fit into somebody else's idea of who we were. We used to own baseball teams. We used to fill up stadiums ourselves. We used to have classics. The first football game I ever went to, my aunt took my brothers and I when I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I loved it. It was in Detroit, where I grew up, at Tiger Stadium, but it was two black colleges. And the entire Tiger Stadium was full of African Americans. Everything was black. Somehow, between the time of the early 60s and now, we've not only become, in many cases, we're third-class citizens in our own community. People come to our nation that don't even speak the language, and I'm not talking about everybody, but they look down on us. And oftentimes it's because we look down on ourselves. And so the reality is that it may be more difficult to do what you're saying, Dr. Mason. It's a shame you got to be on the radio to try to convince folks of something that you know is right, I know is right, and we can do. However, it depends on really what you focus on. And so it's sacrificial to move our mindset this way. But the reason why I am, and I'm sure many other pastors and leaders are doing what they're doing, is because somebody's got to sacrifice to turn this tree around. My grandma used to say all the time, the way you bend a tree is how it grows. And we got some serious bending we got to do, that for us to grow.
You know, if we don't do what we know we must do, then we will become a part of the permanent underclass.
Yes,
what I'm hearing from you, I have a few words as a thing called assimilation, but more importantly, inside of assimilation is where you negate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you negate yourself and you affirm that which is not you, first of all, you can't do it. But you try to do it, and you try to do it all your life, and you try to do it from generation to generation. What happens when you go through the negation affirmation process? You put yourself in a state of flux. And we are living in a state of flux, trying to be who we are not. We should rejoice in who we are. We should be unashamedly black, and we should rejoice in that, and we should move forward with that. We have done it before. We have created a lot of things because they would not let us in. Let me talk a little bit more, Dr. Mason. You know, the National Medical Association, association that represents black physicians, that was created because the American Medical Association would not let us in. Am I talking to you now? They would not let us in. So we started the NMA. It was Daniel Hale Williams. We didn't have hospitals for our doctors to train. We didn't have hospitals for our nurses to train. So we started Providence Hospital. We started Providence Hospital. There's some other hospitals around the country that we started because they wouldn't let us in. And so we can do it again. We've done it before because of necessity, and we're going to have to do it again because of necessity. There is a book about how many hospitals have failed. There was at one point in time we had at least 500 hospitals. Y'all need to hear this. We had about 500 hospitals.
500 black hospitals.
Black-owned and operated hospitals. Let's get it straight. Yes, 500 sir. Owned yes, and operated black hospitals. We did a paper on this at the American Public Health Association a couple of years ago. At that time, we had one. Terry?
Yes, sir. We just had one. That was Howard University. Zero.
How many do we have now?
Zero. Across the entire country.
Now. We have more doctors now. We have a whole lot of PhDs. We have a lot of MDs. We have a lot of dentists. Why can't we, with all the intelligence we have in our community, recreate that which we need and stop begging these other people? James Brown wrote a song. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open the door, I get it myself. This is where we are, right here, right now.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing, I mean, I grew up in the Nation of Islam a good part of my teenage life and what have you, and that was, it was simple. Do for self. That was the message. Do for self. The problem became, and I'm going to say this, and if I didn't send it to you, Reverend January, I will. There's a paper by Ricky Lee Allen. Thomas knows it very well because we quoted a lot. But Ricky Lee Allen, what we're really talking about is the successful implementation of the global white supremacy strategy.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, because we're not talking about what's happening here in America. This is happening all over the world.
All over the world,
black people. Where we got people of color, we got the same issue
because
it's caused by the same problem. And until we acknowledge that and then to take control of our real identity, which is what we've been struggling with for a while, we'll never get to where you and Dr. Britt are talking about.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Britt is so right. You know, even the power of our words. The first book I ever wrote, I was 33, 34 years old, and it was published by HarperCollins, the largest publishing company in the world. A little book called A Messed Up Writer, A Dressed Up Walk, tells my life story. And when you get into that system, I had never written a book before. I had done a few magazine covers. It did very, very well, surprisingly to them. And so every 13 months, you spit out a new book. And so I wrote a book called A Second Time, and it dealt with the racism in American churches. They had me at the headquarters and said, they looked at me and said, we're not going to publish this. Just write something else, which is offensive to me because I don't write books like that. It takes a lot of study for me and a lot of thinking, that type of thing. And so what ended up happening, long story short, is that my late wife and I, we ended up starting our own publishing company, used the same manuscript. I learned a lot from Harper and those folks, and had the book released and did great with the book. And so I still own this publishing company called Cool Springs Publishing House. And the late Willie Barrow, the only book she ever did, she did with Cool Springs and in conjunction with a couple other companies, but it was on ours. And every book that we released, it was up to us to say, okay, we want this book out, and we understood how to distribute. And now, here I am, almost 55 years old. The people that turned me down are now approaching me again and saying, hey, what do you want to write now? See, what owning yourself does, it gives you options. Instead of having a crumb from the cake, it allows you to be part of the making of the cake. Even if you don't own the whole thing, you leave this whole begging thing. I hate begging. I don't beg anybody for anything. That's how I was taught. You never beg for anything. And so it's all about if we did it then, we could do it now, but you have to believe in yourself or have enough people that believe in you or believe in what you believe in to go forward with it. It's a sacrifice. It's hard work, but it can happen. And Brother Tony and you guys are a great example of that.
We're going to go to take a caller right now. Dave, you're on the air with your question or comment. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call. And I wanted to ask, and it's only because I was in Minnesota, south of St. Paul. Anyway, there was around the Eau Claire area, the spring water, it was remarkable. I guess the artesian well is kind of deep, you know, so I was just wondering how would that fit into the picture as well. Maybe even using rainwater to wash clothes and other tasks, but having spring water as a primary source to drink. And Dr. Mason, you had mentioned about things coming out of the box. One time I had some dehydrated green beans with just a tiny bit of sea salt, and they were the sweetest, most nicest little snack that you could have had, you know. Also had zucchini and eggplant and different things like that. But, you know, dehydration, you know, branding under our name as, dehydrated when fresh is not available. For herbs especially, you know, that can help widen, you know, the taste of food and, you know, foods that you didn't think you like because they got a nice seasoning to them, but not just salt. Or, you know, having sea salt, you know, all of that produced from or by ourselves.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Dave. I just want to say that that's the whole, first of all the things that they mentioned, and I can ask Tony to speak a bit to the watering of our plants and how that works for at the farm. But I think that all of it requires us to begin to work better together than we are. And I'm grateful that our pastor, at Reverend Moses Moss III and his wife have supported this project over at the farm ever since we started. And so to your point, Reverend January, we are seeing some of this, and we just have to amplify the ones who do and not even try to vilify the ones that don't. We just focus on the positive, and I'm going to ask Tony to speak to just the naturalness of our waters we get on that you get on the farm and that sort of thing. Tony?
Well, when we first started the project and the building of the church, we had four retention ponds dug, and they was dug at 30 feet. And so we did a measurement of the area of them and the depth of them. So when you do the equation of the depth of them, that equates into 25 million gallons of water that's on our property. So when you take into fact of having your own water, and it's natural water. I watched them dig these retention ponds, and when they started digging them, when they got 10 feet, they had to bring in a pump to pump the water out of there because of the aquifer from the groundwater start filling up the area. So we do have natural water out there that we do use to water the vegetables. We don't have to do a lot of watering. We do a little irrigation when we first start, but generally nature takes over and we end up there. But that is a alternative that we do have, and it helps keeps the farm relevant.
And could you talk just a little bit very quickly about the bees again and the role that the bees play in the success of the farm, both as bees and then the other part you mentioned earlier around the honey?
Well, we initially found abandoned colonies on the land. And we had a friend come down from Champaign. She helped us resurrect those colonies. And that's how we got into beekeeping. But we later realized that having the bees around was great for pollination and helped the yields of the produce that we was growing. But there was also business opportunities of having these bees, the producing of honey and bee wax and getting into bee wax products. So that is something that we would like to start exploring as possible income for the church and the farm.
And I think that's what we will do. We'll make sure that that happens because that's important. Mike, you're on the air with your question. Go right ahead.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Mason.
Good morning, Mike.
Anthony. I'm calling about, I've somewhat involved in vertical farming and distantly from me, and I'm looking at what is projected from the future about vertical farming because it only uses 10% of the water that regular farming it uses now, and it doesn't need that much land, and I'm wondering about what's your guys' plans for that for the future, where you can expand and grow maybe even all year round.
Thanks for your question, Mike. Go right ahead.
Yes, we looked into that, but we have to develop one project at a time. So we're doing conventional, sustainable farming, and we haven't really got the finances that we really need to get this going the way that it should be going. And once we're able to do that, then we can start exploring other options like that.
Well, listen, since you got the finances, because we always, you know, we can't be shy about asking for money because we spend more money than anybody. No, we do.
Yeah,
we do. I mean,
I ain't got
no shame in my game about asking for money because we spend money for hair. We spend money for everything, cars, clothes, everything. And I'm not saying none of that's good or bad. I'm just saying that when we got the one thing you got to do is eat. And so we want to continue to encourage everybody. I'm going to have Tony give the information about the shares. And the shares are, let me tell you just what they are. They go to help pay the expenses of the farm. Farming ain't free. You heard him say we had to get a new tractor. Nobody gave us that. We had to buy that. We still have to pay the people who come out there, the people that work out there to farm the land. That's not free. And it shouldn't be free. And so we pay premium for everything else that we buy, except when it comes down to food. We will pay for, as Pastor January said earlier, for somebody else's name to be in the lining of our shirt, and we don't get anything from that other than what we're buying really is a sense of value that you pay for by buying this labeled object. So what we want you to do is buy this labeled object called food that's organically and sustainably grown, and we're going to, and I'm not ashamed. I need at least 35, 40 people to call today, at least 35 to 40 people, not 100 people to call, because what we have is the best thing going, and, you know, and you can't get no better than what we've got when you buy from yourself. So, Anthony, you want to tell the people how they can participate and what they need to do and how they need to call.
So what we've been doing this year, we've been using the line at the church, and you can call in. Angie Vanderbilt one of the people that's been helping with the farm since we started. She takes the phone calls on Sunday, and the ones that don't call on Sunday, she picks them up through the rest of the week. And if you need to be emailed the information or need to be physically mailed out, she would get it to you. So let me give you that number real fast. It's 708-753-1975. 708-753-1975.
Tony, talk about what a share and a half share is, please.
We have a half share and a full share. A half share is $250, and the full share is $475. So a half share entitles you to get food from the beginning of July instead of the full share all the way till Thanksgiving. That's how far we go. It's between 8 to 12 pounds of food every other week in a share, and a half share, and about 25 to 30 pounds of food in a full share.
And I tell you, this is, you know, it doesn't sound, I want you to get more excited about this. Because this is worth getting excited about. And if there's anybody out there that bought a share, including myself, and also this year we added another $100 for those of you who would like to have the food delivered to your home. So we want to get that. And I see one of my good friends, and she's been around for a long time, Miss Flora Lott. Good morning, Sister Flora.
Hey, Dr. Mason. I could not call in today because I'm hearing some of my favorite people. Of course, I got to put you up there because you know you're my special person. The other one is Dr. January. I was a member for a long, long time, and for reasons that were difficult because of age and limitations, I wasn't able to continue, but I still consider myself a member of his church, and I truly miss his teaching. Every time he would preach, not only would he give us the word, but he also taught us about the love and caring of our people. And my next favorite person is Tony. I'm so proud of Tony. Tony knows that I stay in touch with him, and I still purchase my garden supplies from him and have not stopped since they started. So I just had to call in. My mouth runs off, but I just had to let you know, Dr. Mason, I still love you, and Dr. and Pastor January, love you, and Tony, so proud of you, and so happy. It was just such a blessing that I was able to hear this program this morning. So I just know that I continue to love you, will continue to support you, and continue to do what you're doing. God bless you all.
God bless you.
God bless you too, Sister Flora.
Great lady.
Yes. And again, I want to give that number out, and I need you to call. You know, and this is, I'm not begging. I'm asking. And I'm asking you to help yourself. This is not helping Dr. Mason or Tony or Pastor January. This is helping you. This is helping you by providing you with the one thing that is absolutely necessary for growth and development, and that's good food. And that's 708-753-1975. That's 708-753-1975. I'm going to say it one more time, 708-753-1975. And this year, we plan to have more watermelons. Last year we had red and yellow meat watermelons, so don't. And that all is part of what happens. Everything that grows, you get a part of that's out there. Very quickly, Pastor January, got about 90 seconds. You want any final closing words?
Well, I just want to encourage each person, as you said, to partake in this because it's for the betterment of your body and our bodies as well. And I thank God so much for the opportunity just to share what we've been able to do the last few years. And thank God for Little Tony and his team as well.
Thank you, Pastor January, for your vision, your foresight, continued support. And Tony, for what you do. And Dr. Britt, for always being there to be that additional word. I want to thank every one of our listeners. We appreciate you, and we want you to call 708-753-1975. That's 708-753-1975. Call now. Don't wait and call later. Call now while it's on your mind because you'll forget. And to all of you out there, we want to thank each and thank you very much, Pastor January. Thank you, Dr. Britt. Thank you, Tony. And to each one of you, we want to thank you all for listening. And until next week at the same time and station, may God bless you with continued health and strength. And the next voice you're going to hear is our gospel sister, Ms. Pam Morris Walton, coming to make a joyful noise into the radio. Until next week, be blessed.
As I ponder my existence, what's my purpose for residing with this mind? Fate would have me to go under.